Today on Real Radio.
Can you recall a time when the Holy Spirit was more active in your life than he is now? Then you've backslidden and you need to come home. Was there any time in your Christian home when Jesus was more predominant than he is now? Then your home is backslidden and you need to come home to Christ.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues now in his journey through the book of Joshua. Chapter 8 reveals part of the history of how the people of Israel journeyed into the Promised Land. Now, in the last 8 verses, we read about the altar that Joshua had built and why he built it following the customs of his mentor, Moses. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a study called Coming Back Home Where You Belong.
Growing up as a kid, I don't know what kind of home you grew up in. I grew up in a very strict home. And when my dad or my mom said to be home at a certain time, if I wasn't, it was going to cost me. If my dad issued a certain decree, it had better be obeyed if you agreed to it or not. And I grew up like that. Now, at the time, I didn't like it. At the time, I thought, they're crazy, these people called my parents. But now, I'm so glad that there was that discipline. I was spanked when I did wrong. And when I did wrong, I knew I was going to be spanked. But the spanking often kept me out of greater evils. It was the fear of getting spanked that drove evil often far from me. God loves us, and God issues discipline. It's the way a loving father is, done in love, originating in love, and concluded with love. God cares for us. God loves us. And many of you here, maybe all of you, I don't know, but maybe all of us have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our lives. That means you know that you know that you know, based upon what the Bible says, these things has he written unto us, we who believe, that we may know that we have eternal life. And those of you who have come to faith in Jesus, you know that you're going to heaven. And that being the case, God, being your Father, disciplines you from time to time, disciplines me from time to time, because we belong to him. And in his discipline, one of the things that he tries to accomplish is to get us to come back home if we're wayward from him. Now, in our very liberal society, we would think that if you discipline a child, they're going to run away and never come back home. The exact opposite is true in the human psyche. The human psyche realizes, hey, I'm going back home where I know I was loved. Yes, there was discipline, but I knew my boundaries. And yes, there were certain constraints upon my life, but I knew that I was loved. I'm going home. That's what Luke 15 and the prodigal son is all about. He went away to sow his own seeds and his wild oats. And when he had done that, he reaped the devastation of that liberal rebelliousness. And he came back home under the jurisdiction of his father. Why? Under that jurisdiction was love. And maybe you in your life, maybe you find yourself this morning a Christian that have erred. You've erred from the presence of God. You're saved, your name's written down in heaven, but you knew right now that if God would show up, you would have to hang your head in shame because you're not exactly walking with him. You, like the children of Israel, have erred. And what would God do to us? He would bring us back to himself. I love when one person has said, there's no abortions in the kingdom of God. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad there's no abortions in the kingdom of God, genocide or murder with God? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he says to us, I will never leave you or forsake you. The prerequisite is if you've come to him. And so I want to ask you this question this morning. Have you come to Jesus Christ? Many of you have come, but you're not walking with the Lord in a way that you're glad about. Well, this morning, you're going to have the chance to come back home, Christian. Come back home where you belong. Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 to 35. Follow along with me in your Bibles there. It says, verse 30, now Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, and as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded any tool, and they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones, that is Joshua, wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses which he had written. Then all Israel with their elders and officers and judges stood on either side of the ark before the presence of the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord. And the stranger, that would be us, Gentiles who came to believe, as well as those who were born among them, half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded, therefore, that they should bless the people of Israel. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, blessings and cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law, that there was not one word that Moses had commanded which Joshua did not read before all the congregation of Israel, with the women, the little children, and the strangers who were living among them. 4 points we're going to look at this morning about coming back home. Are you backslidden? Has your life grown cold with Christ? If at any time you can point back to some time in your Christian experience, okay, you know what? We can't go any further this morning unless we decide we're going to be just absolutely honest with ourselves. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, though I'm going to be asking tons of questions. Just sit there and do not indict yourself. Just sit there and listen with your heart. Put ears on your hearts. Can you recall a time when the Holy Spirit was more active in your life than he is now? Then you've backslidden and you need to come home. Was there any time in your Christian home when Jesus was more predominant than he is now? Then your home is backslidden and you need to come home to Christ. Can you account or recount any time in your life when you read the Bible more, or you prayed more, or you enjoyed Christian service more than you do now? Then you are backslidden. And God wants you to come back home. And that might involve many of us this morning. If we're a family, if we're one, and we are in Christ, we've got to divorce ourselves this morning from pride, from arrogance, because right now that's our greatest enemy to what God is going to say to us this morning. Our pride and our arrogance will keep us from responding to the pleadings of God by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. So we need to listen carefully. 4 points. This is what they are. The first point is regarding coming back home where you belong. The Bible assumes that we who are believers, we know the way home. Jot that down. We know the way home. That's the first point. That's in verses 30 and 31. We know the way home if we're Christians. Backslidden or not, we know how to come back to God. Or I should say, we know the way. The second point in verses 31 to 32 is that we know how to come back home. We really do. In fact, those of you who know the Lord and you're backslidden, you recognize immediately what I'm saying to be true. We know the way and we know how. But we've lost the unction. We've lost the drive to come back home and the necessity in our minds to come back home. Maybe it's through condemnation or something else. The third point we'll see this morning is in verse 33. Coming back home where we belong is that we know that we can come back. We can come back. I love that. He wants us to come home. Jack, you don't understand. I've murdered somebody. He says, come home. I've robbed a bank. He says, come home. I'm an adulterer. I'm whatever. Come back home. He says, come home. I've grown cold and complacent. He says, come home. And then finally, this morning in verses 34 to 35, coming back home where we belong assumes that we have a home to come back to. And it gives me a good deal of pleasure to tell you up front, before we even get to the fourth point, we've got a home to come home to. Jesus promises that. First point this morning as we look, verses 30 and the first part of verse 31. It assumes that we know the way. Joshua, he had brought the children across. They had crossed the river. They're into the promised land. They had victory at Jericho. They lost at Ai. Then God gave them the victory as God's decree was given on how to attack Ai. And then don't you think that after the victory of Jericho, after the victory at Ai, they're on a roll. Everything's in line. Remember that they dealt with the sin that was in the camp? They dealt with the sin that was plaguing the nation? So don't you think that as they entered further into the land, they would just kept on a military campaign? Seems reasonable. But that's what they did last time without consulting God, didn't they? Joshua, you're going to have to read more about this to get this out of the scripture. Jot it down in your note-taking if you'd like. Joshua is going to lead them 30 miles from Ai, 30 miles north and a little bit west to a place called the Valley of Shechem. The Valley of Shechem is a pretty awesome place. First of all, Jacob's well is in the Valley of Shechem. Remember when Jesus met the woman who had four husbands, and the man that she was shacking up with was, she considered her fifth, but she wasn't even married to him. Jesus knew everything about her life. She was very loose with her morals, and she was very giving of her body over. And Jesus said, listen, in a way, in a type of a way, or in a type of a prophetic, insightful manner, he says to her, I know all about you. I see deep inside you. And she comes to faith in Christ at Jacob's well in the Valley of Shechem. Remember Abraham in Genesis chapter 12? When the great sacrifice is made there between God and Abraham, and God swears by himself because he could swear by no greater, that was in the Valley of Shechem. An altar was built there in the Valley of Shechem. Joshua knew that in antiquity. He knew that. Listen, it's where Jacob once lived, the Valley of Shechem. 30 miles northwest of Ai, Joshua takes the children of Israel not to another military battle, but to a church service. He takes them to a church service and they begin to be involved in massive group worship unto the God of the universe, the God of Israel. And God, for who knows how many millenniums, had established the sanctuary that he was to have them have that service in. More about that later. As they move northward and as they come to this place, it says in verse 30 that Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal. Mount Ebal, the word mount means mount or mountain. Ebal means cursings. And the mountain of cursing, Joshua goes and builds an altar on that mountain. By the way, that mountain is there today. You can go visit that mountain today when you take a tour of Israel. To go from the Valley of Shechem up to the Mount Ebal that's there, it's very, very stark because the Valley of Shechem is one of the most beautiful valleys in all of Israel, certainly probably the most beautiful valley in all of the Mideast realm there. It is well watered. It's covered with olive trees. Even back in Jacob's time, it was spectacular. It has springs of water coming up everywhere. It's incredibly green. And at the place of that valley there, there's a space of about 500 yards, pretty narrow, that it begins to gently slope up. And now as the valley walls go up, on the one side, on the left-hand side, it ascends up to Mount Ebal. And as it ascends up, get a load of this, Mount Ebal is completely naked of vegetation. It looks like it's been burnt, scorched like a volcano. I mean, it's just thrashed. It was like that then. It's like that now. Nothing grows there. Here's the bizarre thing. Right at its feet, at its base, is the well-watered Valley of Shechem. But guess what? On the right-hand side, the same slope takes place on the opposite direction up to what is called Mount Gerizim. And it is covered in trees, covered in water, covered in wildlife. Here's the bizarre thing. from one top of Mount Gerizim to the top of Mount Ebal, two people can talk to each other. It's that close together. In the valley is where the children of Israel have come, and the Ark of the Covenant is right in the middle. Right in the middle of the valley. On each side are the tribes, divided on each side of the Ark. Joshua takes stones, and they go up on Mount Ebal, the Mount of Cursing, and he builds an altar. He didn't build it on Mount Blessed. He built it on Mount Cursed. Why? Wherever there's a curse, wherever there's wrong, wherever there's evil, wherever there's a plague, wherever there's something wrong, you know what you need to do? Anybody? Build an altar. Build an altar of worship. That's why this message is entitled to the Christian to come back home. We have backslidden away from God when we cease to build altars in our daily life. Joshua understands this loud and clear. And hey, listen, Joshua had experience at altar building, at least altar building watching. You know why? Moses. He hung out with Moses. He was Moses' assistant. And the Bible tells us that when Moses was being called by God up to the mounts, the scripture tells us that God calls him in Exodus chapter 24. The Lord says to Moses, come up here. And the elders came with him. And you know who were part of the elders? There was this man, Joshua. And then Moses stops the elders and brings Joshua with him. Now there's only two guys that are heading up the slopes. And then Moses turns and says, okay, Joshua, you stay here. And then Moses goes up to Mount Sinai. God descends in a cloud. And he's there with Moses for how many days and nights? 40. 40 days and nights. Now get a load of this. All the children of Israel, they're back in the valley with Aaron and Hur. The elders went part of the way. All alone is this guy by the name of Joshua. He's all alone. How many days? 40. How many nights? 40. Can you imagine watching the sundial on your wrist? Man. He said he was coming back. Joshua stood there. He looked up the mount that was shrouded in the glory of God. He waited and waited and waited. And I bet you, I'm making this part up, you can't find it in the Bible. What was going through Joshua's mind? I think one of the things that God was instilling in Joshua's heart was, it's important to God that men and women of God ascend to a place of an altar. The moment Moses was at Sinai, and the moment God descended and met with Moses, guess what Mount Sinai became? An altar. In fact, it was such an altar that it altered Moses. He came back down the mountain, not only glowing, remember he had to put a bag over his face, remember he was glowing so bright from the presence of God, but from that moment on, the relationship that Moses had with God and that Moses had with the people would never be the same. God says, regarding this man Moses, I will speak to him face to face, and no one else will I speak to. Why? There was an altar. As Christians, if we don't have an altar in our lives, our homes will backslide away. It starts out slowly. It usually starts out because we're too busy. We don't have enough time to wait. We don't have enough time to stop. Or we get up and we didn't set our clock maybe enough time ahead or whatever it might be. Or we turn and we know we're in trouble spiritually. When we turn and we say, I can't pray now, I gotta go. Man, are we in trouble when we start confessing that? I can't read my Bible. I've got a busy schedule. Let the schedule perish. The Bible says if we seek first the kingdom of God, every day timer and every secretary and every complaint and every meeting and everything, including the traffic, the 60, the 405, the 5, the 57, the 210, the 10, the 215, the 15, he'll take care of. Now, right there, that just challenged some of your faith, didn't it? And it's like we put on our gloves, helmet, we're in that car, or at that crib, or we're at that school, or we've got that thing in front of us, and it's like God is gone. But he says, remember, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And we're down the freeway. Well, we hope we're going that fast down the freeway anyway. He's there. He's there. And we can convert our car, if that's where we're at, our home, our whatever, to an altar if we choose to. No goofing around anymore with Joshua. No mistake. We are going to seek the Lord, and we're going to erect an altar. Why did he do that? Because he was obeying the word of God. Moses wrote this in Deuteronomy chapter 27 and chapter 28. God told Moses to write this down. He says, when the children come across the Jordan River into the promised land, go to Mount Ebal and there erect an altar and give the people my word. Joshua had the first five books of the Bible in his backpack. And he knew what the word of God said. So first of all, people coming back home as a believer, we need to first of all realize that we know the way home. And the way home as a Christian is to obey the word of God. Did you hear that? Obey the word of God. I'm not asking you to obey me. I'm not asking you to obey any pastor or priest or pope or pontiff or what? The word of God. Paul commended the church at Berea because they searched the word daily to confirm what if Paul was saying was true or not. We so often go to a church service or tune into a radio, and we assume that what that guy's going to be saying is exactly accurate, and it may be, but don't assume it. We are to know our Bible so good that when someone speaks the word of God to you, you are to judge the message based upon the word of God. That's why Sunday and Wednesday or whatever night or whatever day we do get together, that is only an accent to your personal daily walk and your daily altering with the Lord. Are you with me? You understand that? This morning is just the way that the Christian has decided on Sundays to kick off the week. We get together. Yeah, I'll meet you at the grocery store. I'll see you at Albertsons or at Lucky's or wherever. And that's fun fellowship. But this is where we kick off the week. But the real stuff happens when we're with God. Do you and I alter with God on a daily basis? I was blessed the other night. We went on a fishing trip, didn't we, on Friday? Had a wonderful time, beautiful weather. We're out there, had a great time of fellowship, and I was blessed by what one brother told me. He said he was reading his Bible, and how he came to Jesus Christ was that he read in the Bible that he's to go and to pray and talk to the Lord in his closet. The old King James Bible says, meet the Lord and pray in your closet where nobody sees you privately, and God, who's in heaven, will reward you openly. So he read it, so guess what he did? He went into his closet, shut the closet door, and prayed to God and came to know the Lord in the closet. You know what that closet became the moment he began to call out to the name of God? An altar. Hey, you can have an altar right in the middle of your living room floor. It's wherever you are to decide we're going to seek the Lord. We're going to do it according to the word of God, not my will, not my emotions, not my feelings, but by what God's word declares. And right now, as Christians, I've got to tell you, we are going to decide to do this or not. And I'm only talking to the believer right now. Your walk is not as hot as it once used to be. What do? Rededicate your life upon the altar.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last eight verses of Joshua chapter 8. It's a study called Coming Back Home Where You Belong. It's a look at the story of Joshua building an altar after his military victory against Ai. Coming back home where you belong. It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this fascinating Old Testament book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, have you visited realradioactive.org lately? And have you been to the Resource Center? You can visit us at realradioactive.org. Click the button right there on the right, Real Radio's Online Resource Center. It's where you'll find our featured products, message series, even books by various authors. And to make things easy, we've provided a handy search field for you too. So visit realradioactive.org. Click on the button right there on the right that says Resource Center, realradioactive.org. Here's our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. Very easy to remember, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.